My guest at this time is Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute, one of the leading healthcare policy organizations in the country. We want to get her thoughts today, as it appears there is no consensus for a healthcare bill among Senate Republicans. So, what happens now, and is meaningful reform in any way salvageable in this Congress? And Grace Marie, thanks very much for being with us.
Greg, always a pleasure.
Well, let's bring folks up to date. Most of them probably are already. Monday night, two more Republican senators, Mike Lee of Utah, Jerry Moran of Kansas, announced that they could not support the Senate bill, which means debate cannot even start, because Republicans Susan Collins and Rand Paul had already announced that they would not vote to proceed with debate, and Republicans could only afford to lose two votes. So, and that was even before the new Congressional Budget Office score came out, which possibly may have spooked some moderates like it did last time. I guess we'll never know at this point. But the question for you, Grace Marie, is now, why did the amended attempt fall short?
You know, I think there are just too many factions within this Republican caucus, and with only two votes to spare, there just was not enough room for differences of opinion. You've got the moderates who are, frankly, very worried about losing the incredibly generous Medicaid match that their states are getting. Most of them are from states that expanded Medicaid. And remember, the federal government initially paid 100% of the cost of this usually joint federal-state program if the states would put more people on their Medicaid rolls. And so the match eventually goes down to 90%, but that's much more generous than the federal money that they get for the rest of their Medicaid program. So there are a lot of moderates who are worried about that. Many conservatives are worried, rightly, about the regulations in Obamacare that are so difficult to reach through this narrow pathway that the Senate has to pass legislation with only a simple majority of votes of senators. And so they felt that it was not reachable. They're trying to figure all sorts of workarounds. And there's some conservatives like Rand Paul who just feel that any effort to try to do something else to provide subsidies to people going forward is really perpetuating Obamacare. So there are just so many different views among very strong and opinionated senators that it was very hard for Leader McConnell to find that path that it would allow everybody to get through this bill onto one page. I do think there are going to be other options going forward that could get people on the same page. This was not it.
Well, we'll talk about what those options might be in just a moment. But as soon as Lee and Moran announced their intention to vote no on the motion to proceed, Mitch McConnell, as you mentioned, the Senate Majority Leader, came out with his statement saying, well, it looks like the attempt to repeal parts of this and immediately replace it in the same legislation is not going to happen. He said, now we're going to go with a delayed approach. We'll repeal what we can of it, what we don't like, and set the stage with a 2-year expiration to give us time to work on the replacement. 2-part question here. First of all, what do you make of that? I know a lot of conservatives, especially on the House side, had been calling for that since that was attempted and passed in 2015. But at the same time, we already have 3 people in the Senate who said they won't vote to proceed on that. So that appears dead as well. So what do you make of the idea, and what do you make of the fact that that's not going to go anywhere either?
Well, Congress really did work very hard in the last Congress to navigate the same narrow path to get a bill to President then Obama's desk to repeal Obamacare. But it primarily was a repeal and extend bill. It would have kept people on the current subsidies for 2 years. But they knew that President Obama was going to veto it. And so that's a difference between messaging and governing. Now they are really looking at, okay, can we come up with a better way to deliver subsidies to millions of people to get health insurance with federal rules and regulations than the Democrats did? And one of the things that I think they're finding is it doesn't work that way. Washington centralized solutions are not the answer, whether Republicans are developing them or Democrats are developing them.
We're talking with Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. And Grace Marie, let's talk about what could potentially still work out there. Most people seem to think that Congress is throwing their hands up in the air and moving on to other things now. But what do you think could work?
You know, I don't think they can. They know they can't not do something on repealing Obamacare. They have promised this for the last 4 election cycles.
Right.
And every single member is going to have to go to his or her constituents and explain why, after all of this this debate over Obamacare, they can't get it done. So they know they have to do something. It's the replace part that's so difficult, and they can't repeal it without coming up with something to replace it. So we've just got to come up with an idea that allows more people to gravitate around a center of ideas that don't cause them the kind of anguish and grief that we have seen in both efforts on the House side, which, you know, they finally passed, but with many people holding their noses, and these two now failed efforts in the Senate.
Grace Marie, in response to the news of the past 24 hours, you've got folks left, right, and middle, some of them anyway, saying that it's time now for the two parties to work together. But, of course, a lot of Republicans believe that the only thing Democrats are interested in doing is growing the role of government in health care, possibly moving closer to single payer. To hear the Democrats say it today, Grace Marie, in fact, I'll say it specifically. I was listening to the local radio station in town, and Virginia Governor Terry McAuliffe, obviously a Democrat, was asked to respond to the news that the amended bill was not going to move forward. He said the reason that health care costs have skyrocketed under Obamacare is because of uncertainty fostered by GOP promises to repeal. And now that that appears to be dead, costs are going to go down. So what do you make of the idea of cooperation? And what do you make of the Democratic explanation for why costs are so much higher under Obamacare?
That is just so completely beyond the realm of reality. I mean, the reason that costs are going up under Obamacare is because of the flawed structure of the bill that, for one thing, encourages people to wait until they're sick to sign up for coverage, and that provides all sorts of opportunities for people to draw coverage and game the system. And there are so many reasons why this absolutely does lie at the doorstep of Obamacare, but the president said today that we're going to, that Republicans are not going to take any blame for the failure of Obamacare, but they are going to be blamed for the millions of people that would lose coverage if nothing is done, because these exchanges are failing. Insurance companies are not signing up to provide coverage next year because they are losing so much money providing so-called insurance under rules written by Obamacare that don't work. But Republicans own it. Well, how can you have the White House and both houses of Congress and not say that you don't own this problem, because they are, millions of people are going to be looking to them to solve it, but they need to solve it in a way that really does provide a path to a better, more affordable structure going forward, and Washington can't do it. Only the states can do this. They've got to devolve power back to the states and resources for them to heal their broken individual and group health insurance markets and give people more choices of the kind of coverage they'd like to buy rather than the coverage that the government is forcing them to buy today.
I think you offered a dose of stark political reality there, Grace Marie, and that's that just because the bill was and the law was passed only by Democrats doesn't mean that a Republican-controlled Washington can let nothing happen and assume that the American people are going to blame the Democrats. That's generally not the way it works.
Who else is going to fix this? There is nobody else in there but the Congress and the White House to begin the process of making the changes. Yes, the states can fix it, but they can't do it without legislative change, without new authority to be able to take some of these resources and to break loose of some of the chains of Obamacare.
Last 30 seconds. President Trump engaged enough, not enough? What's your read?
You know, I think he's engaged behind the scenes. He was hosting a dinner, a steak dinner at the White House last night with several senators who he felt were going to be key players to really try to help understand what they need, how can we get this across the finish line. When he heard the announcement that the two last key senators, Senator Lee and Senator Moran, were basically not going to vote for the bill. Well, they weren't at the dinner. Maybe they should have been. But the president is doing a lot behind the scenes, and his staff is working very hard with Congress. It's the policy they've got to get right. And I think maybe the third time's a charm. Let's hope that this works with the Senate.
Hope springs eternal. Grace Marie, thanks very much for being with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Grace Marie Turner, president of the Galen Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.